Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. I can tell you are brave, because I am still a germ spreader, okay? Up here in the front row, I've got my box of Kleenexes and my germ killer. So I've been very lazy this week. I've been running a low-grade fever off and on and off and on, but I haven't had one for about 24 hours, so I'm trusting that the worst is over. And today we're going to be looking at the identity of the believer. This coincides with what Rob Reamer was talking about, and I hope that this maybe gives a little bit more information, kind of the how-tos in relation to. It is so important for us to understand our identity in Jesus Christ. We are new creations in Christ. We still have colds and all that kind of stuff because we're still here. But we are new creations in Christ. And that is so, so important for each of us to understand. Before we get there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said this after the Holy Spirit came upon him. And everything that we're going to talk about today is based upon the new birth and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Nothing is. Jesus said after his baptism, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then at the end of his ministry, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And he commanded the disciples, wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait, and Pentecost came, and then they were sent out. The Holy Spirit is so important. And what do these three dots mean? Now, everyone read this next together so I don't have to. Now, how does that happen? It happens that as you and I, as we are walking filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in death to self, that others see Christ in us and they want that same thing. And we simply invite them to join with us in this walk of intimacy. Now, last week, I've been lazy this week. I've been laying around the house. I've been hiding from people not to spread germs. I've been flat out lazy. We have a fellowship time immediately following this, and everyone here is invited. It's pizza, and I'm not sure what else, but pizza, primarily. And if I wasn't so lazy, I would have had table talk on every table. But I was lazy and didn't get to it. Table talk is simply some questions at the end of each message to get you to think a little bit more about the message and to go a little bit deeper with it. I hope that you use it with yourself and with your families to go a little bit deeper. And I'm not going to embarrass you this week, maybe next week. I'm going to keep threatening that until it means something. Our identity. Whenever you see hot pink and an underline, that means there's a blank in your sermon notes if you want to follow along in the sermon notes. Our identity. And the primary question is, who am I? Now, the next model, I like models. Models help me form mental images for understanding. So I'm going to impose upon you a model. This model is from one of my mentors, Dr. Paul Holland. Okay? And wow, you can't read that at all. There, I guess I should have. Here's what it says. Up here, who I am. That's who you literally are. This says who I think I am. Who I am, who I think I am, and then who I think I ought to be. This little diagram Dr. Paul Holland shared with me years ago. He never did write a book. I encouraged him to, but he never did. To me, this is very, very, very significant and very helpful, and hopefully it's going to make more sense. Who I am, who I think I am. You know, there's people in the world that have no clue who they are. They think they're someone totally different. You know, there's people that walk around that think they're God's gift to everyone. Ever met them? And there are others that walk around that think they're so useless and worthless, they're not worth anything. See, here's who we really are. Here's who I really am, especially in Christ. But then there's who I think I am, way down here. And then, growing out of that, who I think I ought to be. This line here in psychology is called psychosis. There's some people running around that think they're the mother of Jesus. Some people think they're Jesus. The further they are apart from who they really are, the greater the psychosis. And then out of that comes neurosis, how we try and cover stuff up. Psychosis and neurosis, okay? I know. I hope this makes sense. If it doesn't, it's me. And I can blame it on the cold this week. Okay, so let me put it in spiritual terms. Here's who I am. The lies that I'm believing determine who I think I am. The lies of Satan that I'm believing. I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm whatever, 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 whatever. If people really knew who I was, they wouldn't like me. I don't care what the lie is, and there's so many different lies out there that all of us have believed and are still believing. The lies we believe determine who we think we really are, because we're believing the lies. We're giving power to the lie. If you agree with the lie, it gives power over you. Are you with me? Thank you for being kind. Then, out of that, we compensate who I think I ought to be. So we do all these silly things. We wear all these masks. We wear all this stuff. We do all this craziness out of who I think I am. And that's not who I really am, but I'm compensating to cover up, and I'm wearing all these masks. All you guys look really nice today. No one here is ugly. I don't see an ugly person in here. I'm glad there's no mirror here. Is that a lie? But it's one that I believed all my life. And that influences who I think I am. Therefore, I do stupid things to compensate for it. And don't even know it. Are you with me? Ladies, there's not an ugly lady in this room. I don't care if you got war paint on or not. You don't need it. You don't need it. You're all beautiful. You're either a princess or a prince of the king. Now, I'm not telling you what to wear or not to wear. I'm just telling you that the lies we believe influence who I think I am, and then we do all kinds of craziness because of who I think I ought to be, and most of the time that's a mask. And the more we wear the mask and people like the mask, the more we realize people really don't like me, but they like what? The mask that I'm wearing. Which means I can't really take the mask off, because if I took the mask off, you'd see the real me. So it forces me to keep wearing this mask. I hope that makes sense. There used to be a TV show on years and years ago. It was called Cheers. Anyone ever see it? I despised it. You know why? Because it was the imitation of what the church is supposed to be. I don't even remember the theme song, but there's a guy there named Norm, I think, and he'd go in and plop down, and it's a place where everybody knows your name, you're accepted, and it doesn't matter. That's the church. That TV show was an antichrist. There are many antichrists in the world. It means instead of Christ. Instead of the bride of Jesus Christ, who is offering an alternative. And that's what antichrist primarily means. Yes, it has two meanings, instead of or against. And that was an instead of. Antichrist, two meanings, two primary meanings, either against Christ or instead of Christ. Cheers was a perfect example of instead of. Where Norm could go there and be Norm, and everyone knows your name, and they don't care, and they still love him and accept him. We need to be that kind of place. And I'll be honest, you guys are as much as that as I've ever experienced. You guys have loved on me and my family amazingly. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm not sure that everyone senses that. I hope so. Because that's the way we're supposed to be. Warts and all, loving one another because we're all loved. We're all God's children. You're not only loved, you're delighted in. But the enemy wants you to believe these stupid lies, not believe who you are in Christ, but to who you think you are because of the lies, and then doing all kinds of shenanigans, trying to compensate and cover up and all this stuff, which further just alienates you so that you feel alone. You're here and you feel alone, and people really don't understand me. That's a lie of Satan, straight from the pit. Amen? Now, here's Jesus. You can't see this very good on this one, but see, Jesus had perfect alignment. Who Jesus was, who he thought he was, and who he thought he ought to be was the exact same thing. Perfect alignment. He didn't have to prove himself. He didn't have to do anything. Because who he was, who he thought he was, and who he thought he ought to be was all one. Perfectly whole. And that's what he wants to do in our lives, bring us into alignment. So that who we think we are, or who we really are, who we think we're, and who we think we ought to be, are all in alignment. But here's humanity's condition. See, we're further and further out because we're believing the lies of Satan. I apologize, but if I knew that'd be that bad, I'd have made it white or something. Humanity's condition, believing Satan's lies, that we're further and further and further, and who I think I am, and now we're wearing all these fig leaves. What did Adam and Eve do afterward? Made fig leaves to hide, to cover. Literally, figuratively, and spiritually, fig leaves. I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid. This is humanity's condition. Because humanity is believing the lies. L'Oreal, you're worth it. I almost bought whitening toothpaste. Because you all like me more if I have white teeth, right? Believe it or not, if I had my real teeth, I've already knocked these front teeth out. They're fake. I knocked them out. Wouldn't you like a toothless pastor? And he had Todd talking because he had... Believe me, I had to talk at Mahaffey Camp to 900 people without teeth. That was not fun. That was very humbling and very healthy for me to realize, what are teeth? And yet we look at people's teeth and we judge them. How foolish. What a lie from Satan. That's the condition of humanity, believing the lies, who we think we are. And all of America, not all of America, I don't want to overstate, but most of our economy is based on this very thing. Who we think we are, and we have to buy all this stuff. We got all these fig leaves to buy. To try and feel good about ourselves. When the reality is Jesus Christ. He already demonstrated his love that he just flat out loves you. He already died on the cross. What more do you want him to do? He already did it. But God, just show me one more sign. You might get dope slapped if you ask for one more. Now, he'll probably give you another one, but he's already died on the cross for you because you're so precious to him. That's humanity's condition. Here's Jesus' remedy. Jesus' remedy is God's truth. Who I am, who I think. See how it's getting closer? And I've got another slide here. So the beginning is, Jesus' remedy is, the beginning is, focus on God's word, God's truth. Jesus is the truth. Replace the lies with the truth, and then appropriating Christ's righteousness here will shorten this distance. There's just another additional reality, and this is George Eldon Ladd. I don't want to confuse things, but it's simply the way I think. I think the two go together. The already not yet existence. This is from George Eldon Ladd. You see, I am saved. You are saved. We are being saved. I shall be, we shall be saved. We live in an already not yet existence. Paul talks about this clearly. If you prayed to receive Jesus Christ, you're already born again. You are being born again. You shall be born again. And it won't be complete until all of us on resurrection morning, right now, my precious Lynette is in the presence of God. But she does not have her glorified body yet. Boy, is she going to look sweet then. Amen? But Scripture is clear that she's not going to receive it until we all receive it at the same time. Multiple places, and especially in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that great faith chapter toward the end, he had a thing better so that we would all receive it together. We're going to all receive our glorified bodies at the same time. And that's when our salvation will be complete and total. This cold is proof that my salvation isn't complete yet. Because I won't have a sinus infection in heaven. Amen on that, rascal. Hey, I'm going to be able to sing in heaven. I'm going to be able to do more than a joyful noise. It ain't going to happen till then. Because I can't carry a tune in a bucket, not even a 55-gallon drum. It's just a fact. It's a reality. You see, this is a part of it. Yes, absolutely, based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, I am saved. And I can stand in that reality knowing it's a truth. But there's also a process that I'm being saved. I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And I shall be, one glorious resurrection morning, I'm going to be completely saved. And to understand that. And I apologize if that confuses the water, but it makes a whole lot of sense to me. So here we call sanctification. Sanctification is simply the process of being transformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. In the temple, there were articles that were sanctified. That meant they weren't used for regular things. They were set aside from the common and dedicated to God. That's all that sanctification means. I'm set aside from the common, ordinary things. I'm God's, so that Jesus dwells in me and wants to flow through me every day. So, here's how it works. Who I am, who I think I am, who I think ought to be. We start replacing the lies of Satan and we get healthier. We grow closer to who we really are. Our understanding, as we replace the lies of Satan, we start understanding who we really are in Jesus Christ. And then, as we understand who we are in Jesus Christ, we claim Christ's provision. And so this whole thing gets closer and closer and closer, just like the way Jesus was. There was no gap. There was perfect alignment. I hope this makes sense. If it doesn't, it's the cold. Actually, it's how I think. Christ's transforming healing work gets closer and closer. God's truth replacing the lies and appropriating Christ's righteousness. And by appropriating, I mean you claim it. You claim it and you live it. You claim it. It's yours. It's yours. You claim the word of God. You claim the truth. You rebuke the lies of Satan and you claim what's yours and you stand on her. Where do we start? Where do we start? In order for this process to begin, you must be born again. I hope all y'all are born again. I can't tell. By a fruit, you'll know a person. But let's be real honest. I can't see into your heart of hearts. You're all pretty good fakers. Amen? Fake it till you make it, right? I don't know, but I can promise you it can't happen apart from being born again. This process of being transformed, this process of being set free, this process of growing in love with God must begin with being born again. And the ABCs of that, admit I'm a sinner. Folks, I do this every day because I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm saved by grace, but I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. Every day I ask God for forgiveness and I thank him for his mercies and I confess specific sins to him that the Holy Spirit reveals to me. A is admit that I'm a sinner. B, believe Jesus died in your place. Put your trust in Jesus Christ alone. You know, I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I can't. I'm too far in debt. Only Jesus can. I told you guys many times, James Blondin in the 1800s put a tightrope across the Niagara Falls, and he rolled a wheelbarrow across. He was a high rope walker, you know, and then he took a wheelbarrow. Didn't have the tire on it, you know, so it fit right in the groove. And then he threw a 150-pound pack of sand or potatoes or something in there, wheeled it across. You know, everyone was cheering and yelling, and you can do it, you can do it. And then he finally said, who will get in and let me take him across? They all went crazy. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And then when he said, who will get in? Scott, will you jump in? Scott was like, you got to be kidding, you idiot. Right? I ain't doing that. You got to be crazy. I met a pastor one time, floored me when I was talking about salvation. I said, everything has to be put on Jesus Christ alone. He said, I never put all my eggs in one basket. I said, you're an idiot. There is only one basket, and it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus died on the cross and paid my sin debt, your sin debt, the sin debt of the whole world. You need to get in that basket, dude. My daddy told me never put all my eggs in one basket. Your daddy was an idiot, too. I was blunt as a heart attack with him. He needed it. I believe that was loving him. I think Jesus would say harsh things to him. We need to put our trust in Jesus, in Jesus. Now, I've shared information with you this morning. This who I am, who I think I am, who I think ought to be, that's information. Information will not save you. Information will not change your life. I know from years of counseling with people, knowing the problem is at best 50% of the issue. Knowing the problem is at best 50% of the issue. Most of you here know your problem. I know why I'm fat. I like too much food. I eat too much food. If you eat less and exercise more, you're going to lose weight. It's real simple. But how many of us want to lose that extra 10, 15, 20, 25, 30? Let's stop there. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm talking about me. I know what to do. Does that help? Knowing the problem, me sharing that, and that's an amazing insight. who I am, who I think I am, who I think. To me, it's an amazing thing. It just makes so many things clear in my mind. But clear in my mind does not transform my heart. Only God can do that. Only the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to transform us. We have to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Believe and then confess Jesus as your Lord. Tell everybody. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Actually, put it on my phone here if I can get it to work. That if you confess with your mouth, I put it in such big print, I wouldn't have to put my glasses on. Good grief, now all kinds of texts are coming through. Stop it. That if you, good, Googa Mooga, someone is persistent. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you confess and are saved. This is called a chiasm. Do you remember FOIL? First, inner, outer, last. Remember that? That's what a chiasm is. Chiasm is just a big X. It means that at the beginning and the end, they're saying the same thing, and in the middle, they're saying the same thing to get your attention. So he begins with, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and at the end, confess and you'll be saved. The ends are the same, the middle's emphasized. It's just to bring attention. So let me read that again. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Believe with your heart, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, it's not just enough to bring him into your heart and hold him there and not tell anyone. I am so thankful that Friday night I was in the very back and I put it off and the guest evangelist, I don't remember his name, anyone need to pray to receive Christ? I almost ran down the aisle. I came up here. He led me in the sinner's prayer, and then he had us turn around and stand before the whole congregation and say, I'm a sinner. I just prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Most humbling, humiliating, most perfect moment of my life. Because I'll never forget it. It's a spiritual stake driven in the ground based upon the Word of God. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and with my mouth I confessed and was saved before my whole church family. Now, you may not have to do that, but the Lord did it for me because he knew that I was proud and arrogant, and I needed to humble myself and go forward and confess to the whole congregation that I was a sinner. Next. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm the reality of your new birth in Christ. He has done that for me over and over and over. And all I mean by that is drive that spiritual stake in the ground deep, 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 deep. Now, in my family, we had family Bibles. And guess what got written in that family Bible? The day you prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And every time you doubted it, man, you went to the family. Nope, that happened then. If you're unsure of your salvation, you can make it right. Ask God to confirm it in your heart. Write it down somewhere. Tell other people about it. Tell others about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm the reality of you, your new birth. It's so important. I meet so many people that still wonder, am I saved? Am I saved? Am I saved? You probably are, or you wouldn't be concerned about it. But maybe not. I don't know. But it can be dealt with. The Lord's only a prayer away. Romans 10, 9 and 10. With the heart you believe and are justified, with your mouth confession and you're saved. Just do it. Isn't that Nike? Just do it. Drive a stake in the ground. Write it down. Put it in your phone. I don't care how you do it. Buy a Bible. Put it in the Bible. Then, next thing to do, I believe, at least for my life, is Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the lies of Satan that are robbing you of the abundant life. Now we're back to, here's who I am in Christ, who I think I am. And the thing that's creating the distance there are the lies that I am believing. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the lies. What are the lies that are robbing you of the abundant life in Christ? And by abundant life in Christ, here's what I mean. And this is just a real short list. Intimacy with God. Do you know God personally? He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to whisper things to you. He wants to tell you things about yourself that you don't know. He wants to tell you how much he loves you. Intimacy. The fruit of the Spirit. We all know that I lack at least patience. I've lacked it this week. I've told God this is long enough for this to go on. I'm not as filled as I need to be. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit ought to be floating all over the place. Ought to be oozing all over the place. In the Alliance, in the past, because of different charismatic movements and things, I believe we've neglected the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They should go hand in hand. The fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They should be flowing all over the place. Kind of like two wings of an airplane. Can an airplane fly with one wing? Doesn't do too well. Should have both wings out there. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe they should both be just oozing all over the place. Could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Everyone's entitled to a wrong opinion, beginning with Jeff. Okay? I mean that sincerely. I could be wrong, but it is what I believe. Three primary lies of Satan, and this comes out of Rob Reamer in Soul Care. Three primary lies of Satan. The performance lie, the people-pleasing lie, and the lie of control. The performance lie, and I'm just going to touch on these very, very briefly. Your worth, your value is based upon what you do. And let's be honest, men, when we meet each other, what's the first thing we say? What you do. Oh, you're a loser. I don't think I'm going to have anything to do with you. You're not worth getting to know. Let's be honest. To at least some extent. Ladies, what do you ask about? Family. Some of us are so family focused that our identity comes from our family. And if our family's not doing well, what do we think? Come on, ladies, and I'm not letting you off the hook either. I just stomped on the men. This is an equal opportunity stomp. The performance lie, and believe me, this is my worst one. This is the one I struggle with the most. Because rightly or wrongly, and I don't even know how it happened, my parents are the perfect parents for me. They're not perfect parents, but they were God's choice for me. And somehow I believe that my value is based upon my performance. And because I had learning disabilities, I didn't do real well until I prayed to receive Christ and God healed me. In seventh grade, I was one step above special education. By ninth grade, I prayed to receive Christ in seventh grade. By ninth grade, I was in the highest class, learning stuff like FOIL. And so I know where some of mine comes from. Why do you think I'm the first here and the last to leave? Maybe not on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings, I'm the first here. But most days, all my life, if I'm the boss, I'm the first there and the last to leave. And no one is going to outwork me. No one. Why? Because of a lie that I believed. I'm just being transparent. The performance lie, that your value, that your worth is based upon what you do. In Christ, that's all gone. Because my value, I forgot to bring Woodit out. I should have brought Woodit out. Y'all remember Woodit, my stuffed dog that my dad paid 50 cents for, my mom wanted to throw away, and I still have him? And you can't afford him. You could gather all the money you want in this room, and you couldn't buy him. Now, he's a youthless, you know, if I died tomorrow and they went through our house and they found Woodit, I know where he'd be. Where would he be? In the trash. Yet you can't buy him because I place value on him. And the same is true of you. Your worth is not based upon your intrinsic value. God the Father looked at you before the creation of the world and he said, you're mine, I love you. I not only love you, I like you, I adopt you. You're mine. And to prove it, I'm going to send my son to die for you. And to further prove it, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to fill you. So that you'll never doubt. But then Satan comes in and interjects all these lies. And we believe the lies rather than the truth of God. The people-pleasing lie. I have a little bit of this one, not much. Sometimes I don't care what you all think. But down inside I do. If everyone likes you, you'll be happy. Man, if you want a sure route to disaster, you follow this rascal. This will destroy your life. Amen? I've seen pastors who believe this lie so much it destroyed their ministry. They tried to please everyone. And then people believe that they were two-faced and this and that and the other. Man, I hate waffling. I don't hate waffles, but I hate waffling. If you see me waffling, please come and talk to me. The people-pleasing lie. Some of us are in this. And you can't say no. I've got extended family that can't say no for their life. I've got a problem with my granddaughter. She's got me wrapped around her little finger. I was a little better this time. But my goodness. And then the lie of control. This is probably my second one. You'll only feel safe if you're in control. Now, I was telling Carolyn the other day, we were talking in the office. I told her I'd give her a bike ride if she wanted one. She offered me a ride. John and them were going to a seminar or something and offered me a ride. I said, thank you, but no thank you. I don't ride with other people. I don't ride with other people. I don't ride with other people. Because I like to be in control. I've never ridden on the back of a motorcycle with anyone except my dad. And that's the way it will be. I'll take you for a ride, but you ain't going to take me for a ride.
None of this came out in the interview process.
Perfectionism is the ultimate. Anyone here a perfectionist? Man, my theology and my rifles better shoot straight. My goodness. And it probably slips over into some other areas. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a fig leaf of trying to have control. Now I say that it's easy to say it. Because knowing it is only 50%. Only the power of the resurrected and living Lord Jesus Christ and only the empowerment of the Holy Spirit can give us victory over this. Only God can set us free. If you don't believe that, let me tell you, how's it working for you so far? How's it working for you so far? I love that in counseling. How's that working for you, dude? Guys, this message is for me. Okay? Identifying the lies. If you want help with that, Hebrews 12:1 talks about, it doesn't, the King James used besetting sins. It's the sin that's right next to you. It's the sin that you keep committing. It's the sin that just wreaks havoc in your life. Think about that sin and which lie is that sin primarily based upon? Performance, pleasing, or control? And then to pray. Holy Spirit, with reference to the besetting sin in my life, which lies am I granting power to in my life? And I'm going to just take time right now and pray. It's only 10 after. Because see, I don't believe that God just wants you to have information. I don't think God wants you to know about who I am, who I think I am, who I think I ought to be. I think He wants to meet you and change your life, not just give you information. And so I'm just going to pray and have a moment of silent prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to nudge you, reveal to you whatever He wants, to bring to your mind the besetting sin. You already know what it is. You already know the sin that haunts you, that you're terrified that He won't forgive you of it again. Because I know He's already at work. He's been in my life. He's been beating me up all week. It's a good beat up, though. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, please, please. We don't just need knowledge and information. We know that that will only get, at best, halfway home. We need You. I need You. Use besetting sin. Use whatever You want. Please reveal at least one of the lies that we're believing. Please reveal it in this moment of silence. Maybe you already have. I don't know. And I don't want to put you in a box, so maybe you're going to do it this afternoon or tomorrow. But I pray in Your name, Lord Jesus, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that You would reveal to each one of us either a besetting sin or the lie behind it that we are believing and that we're allowing to have control in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Again, Holy Spirit, we don't put You in a box. I believe for many of us, I thank You that you've already revealed it to me. For many here, You have already. For others, You're going to do it later. But I thank You that You will. In Your perfect timing, however You choose. But I thank You. Thank You. Thank you. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Antidotes. There's two primary antidotes that I know of. Holding on to the truth is the first one. Take the lie and replace it with the truth. And holding on to the truth. Holding on to the truth. And I put this verse up here. If you hold to my teaching, this is Jesus. And Jesus says, just prior to this, he's talking to the people who put their trust in him. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us. If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will... Anyone here want to be set free? I know I do. And this is not a one and done. There's a ton of lies in our lives. There's a lot of them. If you hold to my teaching, hold to it, hold to it, hold to it, memorize it, claim it. When you're tempted to believe that lie, that's a lie. I'm holding on to the truth. Over and over and over. And yes, it will be very hard to begin with. And you're going to stumble and fall. When my grandkids start trying to walk, do I get ticked off when they stumble and fall? Do I get mad when they don't roll over all the way? You lazy sluggard, do it better. No, you're delighted. I believe with all of my heart that the Father looks at us in that way. And then second, the second antidote, at least that's worked in my life, is encountering God's presence. And I know there's a lot of people that I'm not sure that what I'm saying is what they're hearing. But encountering God's presence isn't replacing God's word. It is a personal encounter with him where I sense his presence and he speaks to me. I'm not replacing the Word of God. I'm not negating the Word of God. In fact, most of the time, it is the Word of God that he uses to do that. But sometimes, he just reveals himself in such wonderful ways. One of Pastor Trevor's daughters was baptized. Really cool. Ask her about it. She had an encounter with Jesus. Subsequent to salvation. Because he not only loves her, he delights in her. And she's special, but you're special too. And here's just a couple references. 1 Kings. This is Elijah. Elijah was able to say what he said because he stood in the presence of God. Literally, he stood in the presence of God. And then just said what God said. Matthew 4:4. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Did God have to say that? No, but it was a personal encounter. He spoke to Jesus because he loved him and he was delighted in him. And in John 17, Jesus himself said, the Father loves you just as much as he loves me. Do you really believe that? I don't think most of us do. I don't think I do yet. You're as loved as Jesus is. And that's quite a bit. By the way, if you think trials and tribulations are a sign that God doesn't love you, look at what Jesus did. Look at Job. Have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous. If Job was a scuzzbutt, he wouldn't be in the Bible. I hope that's not too offensive. He was righteous. And God knew he'd pass the test. And then finally, Acts 4:13, I love this. I love this. This is where the apostles are arrested. The Sanhedrin is getting ready to beat them because they've already said, don't preach in Jesus' name. And they're waxing eloquently. And the Sanhedrin are saying, these are ordinary, uneducated men. How do they know this stuff? And then the little phrase, they spent time with Jesus. They spent time with Jesus. People will know that we're ordinary people. But you know what? If we spend time with Jesus, people will know it. People will see it. I know what happens in my life. Most of the time, or much of the time, I'm completely invisible. Don't you love being invisible? You go in a store, you're looking for someone, you can't find something, you're just invisible. But I'm telling you, when I've spent time with Jesus, it's different. People I have no clue smile at me, walk up to me and say hi. I believe with all of my heart that it's Jesus they're seeing and not me. I kind of like it. So, identify the lie. Replace the lies with God's truth. Now we're back to Sermon 101. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them, and then tell them what you told them. Sermon 101. The renewing of your mind and encountering God's presence. Those are two biggies, at least in my life. And Rob Reamer, yes, has had a big influence in my life in this area. Having the Holy Spirit identify the lies, deal with the lies, and then encountering Jesus. And again, but what I mean by that is God speaking intimately with you. The biggest example, my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. One other quote. The power of a lie is our agreement with it. If you tell me I don't love my daughter, Jen, I'll just laugh. You can say it to me all day long and it's water off a duck's back. Because that is meaningless. That lie has no power in my life. It doesn't even have a smudge. I won't even hurt you if you say it. Because it's so stupid and so ridiculous. Are you with me? Why does that lie have no power? Because I don't believe it. I don't believe it for an instant. And I don't believe my daughter would believe it for an instant. I don't believe my son would believe it. You guys, easy. Again, Holy Spirit, which lies am I granting power to? The power of a lie is my giving agreement to it, whatever the lie is. Here's table talk. How important is knowing your identity in relation to living the abundant life in Christ? How important is knowing your identity in Christ in relation to living the abundant life? What do you think about Dr. Holland's three triangles? Who I am, who I think I am, who I think I ought to be. What do you think about Rob Reamer's concept of the three lies? The lie of performance, people-pleasing, and control. And based upon what you're sensing from the Holy Spirit, what is a practical next step for you in relation to today's message? Finally, we're going to worship through singing and then hopefully worship through eating. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come. If everyone would stand, I'm in closing prayer. And then, Chris, could you pray God's blessing on our fellowship and food? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for your conviction and the message that you first delivered to me. And I'm simply sharing it with my brothers and sisters. But my goodness, knowledge and information can't get her done. It can't get her done. I need you. We need you. Please. Please. Divinely intervene. Reveal the lies. Reveal yourself. Make yourself known. And continue your work in my life. Continue work in our lives. For your glory. Not because of who we are, but because of who you are, our loving Abba Father. May your kingdom continue to come so that your will is done for your glory. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.